Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. If you're just tuning in, Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical, and I've got joining me in the right chair is Chef Andrew Smith. And if you missed the first segment, you're going to want to go back and listen to that one on thegrillingguys.com because this guy is a wealth of knowledge. And we're going to have you tighten the boots up and hang on because this is all about education today. And we're going to finish with a little bit of Super Bowl. But before we get there, in the last segment, we talked about a tri-tip is a cut of meat, brining it, marinating it, and then bringing it to room temperature. Well, now the fun part is we're going to take it to the grill. So, Drew, take it away. It's on the counter. Where are we going from here?
All right. So next thing we're going to do is we're going to put it out on the grill. But, you know, there's two camps on grilling. Either got the gas grill guys or the charcoal guys. And I got to be honest with you, I'm in both camps. There's times where I want to use my charcoal, where I use nothing but, you know, solid lump charcoal. But then there's times where I just like the intense heat I can get out of a gas grill.
Infrared gas grill, sure, yeah.
And, you know, I got to be honest, you know, we just got done doing the remodel at our house, and thanks to the wonderful guys down there at Garrett's, they talked me into dropping some big coin on a Viking gas grill, and I'll tell you what, that baby gets hot. I mean, up to 800 degrees, and that's exactly where I want it for my steaks.
Right. So there you are. Now, a lot of guys might not have a professional level grill like that, but you can still get your grill hot. You turn that thing on high, let it set 10, 15 minutes, get those grates really smoking hot. Why do you want that?
You want that because you want to be able to sear that outside and create that crust, which is going to give you a texture. It's going to give you that caramelized barbecue flavor on the outside of the steak. And cook it as quickly as possible so you can force that juice into the inside of the meat. And then when we get to that point of resting the steak, it's going to allow those juices to come back out. So you don't want a low and slow, you know, type of cooking on a steak. That being said, you know, other cuts of meat and seafood, pork chops, chicken, you know, tend to want to have a much lower heat. I reserve the high heat on my grill for two things and two things only, and that's beef and steaks and lamb. Everything else I like to do on a much lower temp.
Yeah.
You don't end up drying the meat out, you know. And as a general rule, the fattier the cut of meat that you're cooking, the higher the temperature, the heat that you want, and the leaner the meat that you've got, you want to do it on a little bit slower. So like your chicken breast, you're going to do on a much lower temp.
Right, and that heat is going to render some of that fat out of the meat, create the juice. You got to watch for flare-ups a little bit. If you got a professional grill, usually you got some heat shields down there, and that grease will actually hit those shields and create a nice smoke. Our friends at sometimes tell us that that's a carcinogen, but not if you're doing it properly and you're not cooking this thing to a blackness, right?
Exactly, yeah. And you know, nothing like a little you know, thrill of the grill and the flavor off of there. So there's worse things that you could be putting in your body.
Yeah.
Lord knows most of us have already done it already.
Yeah, right. It's there, right? Whether we want it to be or not. But okay, so you've got this thing on. We're big proponents of instant read digital thermometers. ThermoPen is one that we use on a regular basis. They're not a sponsor. I'm not pushing them. I'm just saying that's a good piece of equipment. There's a lot of instant read digital thermometers out there, but if I want that we're back on this tri-tip, it's a dense piece of meat, probably was about 2 inches, 2.5 inches tall on the thick end, and it goes down to a point, right? Obviously, that point's going to get done quicker, but I brought that thing to about 125 internal temperature at the thickest part is when I pulled it off, set it off, and let it rest. The significance of the resting is what happens during that period?
Well, during the resting, what happens is, like I said, when it comes off the grill, it's like taking a balloon and squeezing it at both ends. You push everything right into the center. Well, by taking it off the heat, you allow that the ends of that balloon, the meat, to relax, and those juices then slowly start to go back out to the outside edges of the meat. What this does is, in the slow process of resting, naturally tenderizes the meat by those juices moving slowly back through the muscle, you know, structure.
So am I worried about serving my guests cold meat?
It's not going to be cold. It's still going to be, you know, nice and hot and warm. But what you're going to get, and the best rule of thumb is, if you cut into a steak and you end up with juice all over your plate and the outside of the steak edges, the top and bottom, are gray and the inside is bloody red, you haven't let that meat rest long enough. You should let your meat rest long enough that when you cut it, you don't lose any of the juice. And two, that the color, the temperature you cook it at, whether or not it's a rare, a medium rare, well done, whatever is even all the way throughout. And that's where you get that. That's what the resting will do for you.
Right. And it's a critical part of the steak before it hits the plate for your guests or your family or yourself, is that rest is huge. So many times I see guys take them right from the grill to the plate, and 2 minutes later, they're putting a knife through it, and they wonder why the last half of the thing is so dry. The first two bites were great because the juice was flowing, but then it flowed, and it's all over your plate.
And that's exactly what happens is, like I said, when you squeeze that balloon at the ends, if you cut into it right then, it's under such high pressure, it's just going to squeeze right out of the meat, and you're going to end up with dry, tough meat, and you're going to go, this was a terrible cut of meat.
Right, and when in fact it was a great cut of meat, terribly prepared.
Exactly.
Right, so, or at least the last step of it is what it was. You could have done it. That's the thing about this resting that's so important is you could have done all the stuff that we've talked about up, you know, the brining and the marinating and the letting it come to temperature and grilling it to the right temperature, but if you cut it too soon, all of that almost doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It doesn't. You've just ruined all the hard work that you put into it.
Yep, so... So anyway, our friends at Garrett's Appliance have a very nice grill selection. Kingsland Hardware focuses on the charcoal, and you mentioned that you're in both camps, as I am. We both have several grills, but with the charcoal, is there any difference in the cooking technique? We use lump charcoal. We're big proponents of that.
So am I.
Here at the Grilling Guys. And the reason is you get a really even heat. You get very, very little ash. And if you're done cooking, you can snuff it out and reuse it again.
Exactly. And the startup time on lump charcoal is a lot faster than it is on briquettes. You can be cooking in 10 to 15 minutes on lump charcoal. And it's the closest thing that you're going to get to some of the high intensity of these professional grills. You know, if you use lump charcoal on a regular grill, you're going to get that same heat that you would get out of a natural gas grill. So it's really intense. I love the flavor you get off of that, and you can, you know, use mesquite, you can use alderwood, a lot of different woods, but man, I just love a natural fire. And the big difference is you just got to get used to, there's going to be hot spots on your grill and where the charcoal is going to be a little bit hotter than that. You just got to learn that stuff. And that's just, you know, practice. You know, don't be afraid.
And you can see it, you know, because the cool part about lump charcoal is it creates an ember when it's ready to cook. You don't want any flame. You're not cooking on flame. You're cooking on this red ember that's kind of like almost moving. You can see it getting darker, lighter red, and then you know it's ready. And if you've never done this at night, it's very evident at nighttime if you've cooked on a grill when it's dark out this time of year. You know, by the time you get home from work, it's dark. You get a fire going. It's really dark. And it's easy to watch those.
Yeah, you get almost an infrared type of color off of it. But like I say, that heat is so intense on that, and that's, you know, you just can't get that out of briquettes.
Lots of bare knuckle grillers with charcoal because the hair's burned off the back of your hand.
No hair on my hands, I can tell you that.
That's funny. So, but the charcoal does impart its own flavor, different than a gas grill. I'm a believer of that. Some people tell me it's bunk, but to me, a steak on the charcoal has a different flavor than that on the gas.
It does. And, you know, especially like if you're doing burgers where you get high fat and you get those flare-ups, you're going to get more of that outdoor wood fire flavor to your burgers. I also like charcoal for longer cooking times where I'm smoking or, you know, slow cooking an item. Cooking a whole prime rib on a charcoal grill is awesome because you've got such a long cooking process that you allow that wood flavor and natural campfire flavor right into the meat. You just can't get that out of a gas grill.
Exactly. It just doesn't happen. Coming up next, we're going to dive into a subject of aging meat. Sometimes people get a little squeamish when you can say that this steak has been aged for 30 days. They're like, man, it's got to be rotten. It might even have a little dried up crusty and even a touch of mold if it's not done properly on the outside. But that stuff's all cut away, and the result is one of the best steaks you'll ever eat. So we're going to talk about wet aging and dry aging meat. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.